We are working on a series on the attributes of God. And to repeat something I've said before, I'm convinced that the key to life is not what happens to you, it's how you respond to what happens to you. Most people think if good stuff happens, I'll have a good life. If bad stuff happens, I'll have a bad life. In reality, I would argue strongly, it's not what happens. Everybody has bad stuff happens. The whole key is how do you respond? You say, how should you respond? You should respond well. And the only way to do that is to know God well. The key to responding well is knowing God well. The key to having a good life is thus knowing God well. Remember, good doesn't mean that bad stuff doesn't happen. Good means that when the bad stuff comes, you respond well because you know God well. And so last time we began a lesson on God's omniscience, and we're going to have part two tonight. So I'm going to open up and with a question or two, and they're going to deal with the midterm elections. I just need someone to help me out who kind of knows what's going on a little bit. I only know a very little bit. But who's aware of what's going on midterm? Jeff, okay, so you're my guy tonight. All right. Jeff, the Senate, I want you to think of the Senate, okay? How does the Senate stand right now? 50 it's 50 to 49. Who has 50? Who has 49? Good. So 49 states have been counted, correct? The Democrats have 50. The Republicans have 49. How many states are still outstanding, Jeff? Okay. And so how come we don't know what happened yet? It's going to a runoff. Good. And so, Jeff, who wins the runoff? How come he paused? Jeff was answering every one of my questions, and I said, who won the runoff? He hesitated. He hesitated, right? And then he said, only God knows. But guys, God knows. When I say, Jeff, how many states is it already decided? 49. What is it? It's 49, excuse me, it's 24 to 25. That's where they're at. Jeff just answered those. He knows. But when I asked him what's going to happen in Georgia, he hesitated. God doesn't hesitate. If you say, Lord, what happens in Georgia? He'll say it just as quick as he can tell you the other 49 states. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the attribute of omniscience, definition. God fully knows himself in all things, actual and possible, in one simple and eternal act. That's Wayne Grudem's definition. And so just a quick review on what we talked about. We broke that down last time in parts. God knows all things. First of all, he knows himself. Remember, he's infinite. So to know himself is incredible. But he does. He not only knows himself, secondly, he knows all things actual that exist or will exist. So you could ask the Lord exactly how many votes were cast in Greenville County. He knows. The whole state of South Carolina, he knows. You could also ask him about, Lord, how many votes will be cast in the Georgia runoff, he knows, for each candidate, he knows. How many will be miscounted, he knows, okay? Because he knows all those things, all right? He just knows. And he not only knows actual, he knows all things possible. What if President Trump had not entered the race yesterday? Would that have changed the results in Georgia? He knows. He knows. Yeah. You say, but he did enter the race yesterday. That's correct. See, God knows all things possible, and he is always aware of everything. That was that word simple in the opening definition. God fully knows himself in all things actual and possible in one simple and eternal act. God doesn't have to say, let me think about that, right? If you said to me, hey, Greg, like, I don't know, like, what's the name of your neighbor in your previous street? I'd go, and then I would think about it. God doesn't go, he knows it immediately. It's not like there's one part of him. He knows it all completely, instantaneously, okay? So God is an omniscient God. Having said that, I want to encourage you tonight with two questions, okay? And this is not just theological, you know, stuff. Wow, this is what guys in seminary think about. This is practical. Ready? Question number one. If God knows everything, does he forget my sin? I ask this in class many times, and I get differing results every time. You know, like when God forgives us, doesn't he forget our sin? Well, there certainly are wonderful texts like Jeremiah 31:34, where it says, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. And I think what happens is people look at that and say, well, God doesn't remember it anymore. I guess he forgets it. Some people also, I think, maybe think of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now you say, okay, so God doesn't remember my sins, Isaiah 43, 25. He says, I will remember no more, Jeremiah 31, 34. And it might be that a person would conclude, well, I guess God forgets it. And I'm not saying that's the worst thing in the world. But the problem is, if that's true, then God's not omniscient. Our definition is wrong, and we wasted our time last week, and we're wasting our time again tonight. Because if God forgets my sin, some would argue he's no longer God. Because omniscience is an attribute of God. And he would cease to be omniscient. You say, so what's going on with those verses? Look at the parallel nature. Let me start with the Jeremiah one. Look at parallel. I will forgive their iniquity. That's parallel with their sin I will remember no more. What does it mean I remember no more? It's another way of saying I forgive. These are parallel statements. You say, so what do you think's really going on there? Just that point that I made, subpoint. To not remember is parallel to forgive. When God says, I will not remember, he's not saying I forget it. He's saying I forgive it. If you want to put it a second way, maybe this will help. He will not remember our sins against us. He will not actively remember them against me. You say, how? Because he remembered them against Jesus. That's the gospel. So my sin deserves wrath. Jesus paid the wrath that I should have paid. God promises that he will what? He will never remember my sin against me. That's just another way of saying he forgives. Or to use the Isaiah 44 text, he wipes out or blots out your transgressions. You say, what does that mean? He blots it out. He won't remember it against me. You say, then he forgets it. Well, maybe an illustration. It's not going to be perfect, but I tried to think of one. What if a police officer gives me a parking ticket and I have to go to court? So I'm in court. Here's a parking ticket. And I appear before the judge. And the judge says, Mr. Mazak, are you guilty of parking illegally? Yes, Your Honor. Okay, so you have to pay fine, $100, whatever. I say, yes, Your Honor. He says, but guess what? I am going to blot this out. I am going to pay it. And he reaches in his wallet. He takes out a $100 bill. He hands it to the clerk. And he says, go pay Mr. Mazak's fee. I am blotting out his transgression. Okay? I would say, praise the Lord. That's awesome. Okay? Question. Did the judge forget that I illegally parked? He doesn't forget it. But he forgave me. Not a perfect illustration. But the point I want to make is God doesn't forget anything. He forgives. You say, okay, this still sounds like theological fun. It is. But I don't know if you ever talked to people that had bad stuff happen. And I've had more than one person say to me, Greg, you have no idea how badly I've been sinned against. How can I forgive? I could never forget what happened to me. And we want to be gracious. We want to be kind. We want to go slow. We want to meet people where they're at. And we want to help them. You know what? You don't have to forget. God doesn't ask you to forget. And let's be frank, if it was big, you'll never forget. But you want to hear some good news? God never forgets your sin. And he still forgives. You don't have to forget to forgive. That idea of just forgive and forget is not really a biblical concept. God does not do that, okay? That's good news to me. Because when I realize that people may have sinned against me in great ways, I don't have to struggle with how can I forgive if I can't forget. I can go back to the example of God and know that he's a God who forgives me even when he doesn't forget. That's our first question based on omniscience. Does God forget my sin? He does not, but praise the Lord, he forgives it. Second question. You say, wait a second. God fully knows himself and all things actual and possible in one simple and eternal act. Question number two. Does God really know future human choices? Jeff, you said, I'm going to come back to you if that's okay. That's why I asked for a volunteer because I don't want to, like, you know. Jeff, you after you paused, I said, who won the Georgia whatever that's coming up, election? And you said, you paused and then you said, only God knows. Question, guys, does God know what's going to happen in the Georgia runoff? Does he actually know? Do you believe he knows? If he's omniscient, then he knows. Do you know that there are many professing Christians who would disagree with you? There are many professing Christians who would disagree with Jeff. They would say, well, wait a second. God knows what's possible to know. But God doesn't know what's going to happen in the vote in Georgia because some people, we don't even know if they're going to vote. We don't even know if they may want to vote, but they might not vote. They might vote for the wrong person. They might change their mind, right? You say, who argues that? It is a theological position that's called open theism. You don't need to know that term, but there are actually many Christians who will tell you God does not know what's going to happen in Georgia. How could he know? Man has free will. Man makes choices. And if you're going to tell me God knows, then you deny that man has free will and man does have free will, so God doesn't know. That's the reasoning of open theism, as it's called. They argue if people are free, God can't know the future. They would say, we still believe in God's omniscience, we just define it differently. Here's what they say. God knows all that is knowable. God is omniscient. God knows everything that has ever taken place. He knows it all. And God doesn't know what's going to happen in Georgia during the runoff because how can you know if people have choices and they freely make choices? There are many people who would argue that God doesn't really know. You say, Greg, what do you do with that? I mean, call me a simple guy. I just believe the Bible. God's word says he knows. God's word says he knows everything. You say, but what if the event hasn't happened yet and you don't know how many people are going to vote? I don't, but he does. You say, but they haven't all decided if they're going to vote. Yeah, I know that, but the Bible says he knows. What does the Bible say? Isaiah 42, 8 and 9. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. There are Christians who say, that's not true. God can't tell you what happens before it happens because people have choice. Don't tell me people don't have choice. And then they deny the very teaching of Scripture. That's what open theism does, denying Isaiah 42, 8 and 9. How about Isaiah 46, 9, 10? One more. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, there's no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done. You say, you mean God really knows things that haven't happened yet? Absolutely. To him, the end, it's no harder than the beginning. We could ask God, Lord, what happened with the elections in those 49 states? And he would say, I don't mean this irreverently, but just kind of like Jeff said, you know, Democrats have 50 states, Republicans have 49. We know that. God could say yes, and you could say, God, what happens in Georgia with the runoff that's coming up? And he would tell you exactly, just as quickly. He knows that, because that's what the Bible says. You say, and there's really people who disagree with that. Can I give you a list of denominations that accept open theism? This is according to their Facebook page, godisopen.com. It's accepted by the Assemblies of God, the Nazarenes, the Mennonites, the Free Will Baptists, Salvation Army, Anglicans, Quakers, Grace Believers, some Baptists, some Independents, the United Methodist Church, the United Church of Christ, Free Methodist, Church of God, and Evangelical Covenant Church. Every one of them says what I've just described to you is acceptable. And I look at that and I say it's a denial of the Bible. And they would all say, that's okay with us. Because in their mind, that can't be right. How can you say God knows all things if people really have the freedom to choose? And I would just take you to Isaiah, and I would say, read Isaiah 42:8, 9, Isaiah 46, 9, and 10. And if they said, Greg, I don't think you really understand that. Newsflash, drop, think. I don't understand it. I don't have to understand something to believe it, guys. The Bible says God knows. God knows things before they happen. You say, and people have choice. They do have choice. And yet, God knows. And is that a problem? Doesn't keep me up at night. In fact, it helps me not to be up at night, because he knows. We trust him. He's omniscient, and I'm grateful. I hope thinking about these attributes of God encourages you in practical ways. Let's pray.